Find Romans 12, 1 and 2. We were in 12, 1 last Sunday. We're going to tag it with verse 2 today. Let's read them together. It says, "Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual, your reasonable service and worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit and your word of knowledge you want to give to me to speak to a person or situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you will remind me. You look at all of us today, everybody on campus, this service, but you look at me differently. I'm a teacher of your word. For me is a greater judgment from you, a more strict judgment because I'm a teacher of your word. And I accept my place in rightly dividing his word, your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you guys. There are many of you who have been with me and under my leadership for a long time, 20, 25 years. And with that as a theme, if you ever wonder what kind of a preacher I am, I'm a whole counsel of God preacher. I want you to see how his themes run together from Genesis to Revelation. That's just where I think it makes sense in learning how to live. It doesn't mean I don't preach through a book. I have, I do, I will. Recently, we just went through the whole book of Hebrews. I do that, but I want you to get it. I want you to see the potential that you have in living for him. I want you to see the potential that he has in you living this way. And I really like to go through scripture and just put the pieces together so that the light bulb will come on, you know, so that we'll get it. And that's true of basically every sermon I preach, specifically true of this one today. Last Sunday, we handled verse 1. We are a living sacrifice. We're alive, but I'm dead to self. I'm alive to him. I'm living kingdom principles out. We went through that. Today, we're going to find out how that happens and is carried out more and more in the transformed life. What does it look like? In what to watch out for when it comes to living this life. So in verse 2, if you go to 12:2, we're going to be handling how we conform, how it is that we conform. We're going to be handling how we're transformed. We're going to be handling this this renewing. And then we're going to be handling what it is to live this out and bring pleasing to God. The first part of it, it says, do not be conformed to this age. What does age mean? Age means world. Don't be conformed to this world. Watch it, because it's incredible. I use 1 John 5:19 a lot. Do I lean heavily on the writings of John? I really, really do. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Book of Revelation. Let me tell you why. 12 disciples, loved all of them. 3 of the disciples he hung out with more than he did the 12. That's Peter, James, and John. And then out of the 3, he hung out with one more than the 3 he hung out with John. John has an insight into the person of Christ. All of the others do too. But John comes from a very different perspective than most of them. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Now, we're not just talking about the world of that day. We're talking about the world of this day. I'm shaking my head at how confused our world is. I'm shaking my head. But you're going to say, well, it's because of these people and those people. I'm telling you, it's because the enemy is affecting the way people think and live. Okay, the confusion that you and I are shaking our head at, the complexity of it, shaking your head at, I still believe it. Y'all listen to me, y'all go right back in it all the time. I'm slowing down, most of y'all are speeding up, then I'm telling you, quit speeding up. You got to slow down. My son called me the other day. He goes, Dad, have you heard this new book that's out about there's too much hurry? And I thought, man, I could have made $1 million writing that book. You know? So I ordered it for him. I wrote in front of it, I love you, slow down, Dad. That's what I wrote inside of it. And it's all off a quote that I've given to you that I learned back in seminary from Carl Jung, who said, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. And but you all, listen to me. Y'all get faster. Y'all are buying into, and the world's conforming you that you've got to move at this rate of speed. If you don't move at this rate of speed in your life, you're losing out. That's why, as long as I'm here, when the weather's, we're going to have rocking chairs. You know, I mean, I'm seriously. The devil's playing you all like a deck of cards at how fast he's got you living. He really does. One of the things with our church is some of you all are crying for more programs. And if I gave you more programs, you wouldn't come. You just think a church needs to keep everybody busy, getting them on campus, keeping them busy, keeping them out of trouble. I just want you to do the Hope Arrow, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. If you'll just do that, it's going to be a healthy church. You're going to have one grade of a life of ministry. It's going to be impactful, influential, fruitful. All those things are involved in it. Just do that. But I have designed our church to not make you too busy on campus. I think you knew that at the beginning. Do you still realize? I work at that. Why? I want you to have good family time. I don't want to be stripping you of that. I could get back into the old format of doing something every night, offering something every hour, trying to plug you into it. I just refuse from doing that. Why? Because I want you living your life. I don't want to be accused of being part of the busyness by just having you on campus for whatever reason. I want you living out there in that world and living out there in that world and being light to darkness, being salt, bringing flavor to it, all of it. Goes back to this. Please realize the confusion and the complexity of this world is a scheme of the enemy. Please know that. The anger and the angst that you see is a scheme of the enemy. Everybody's mad. Everybody's mad. So please know that. We're not talking about the day in which he is writing. He is writing that then, pointing to this day as well. So we've got to don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Jesus does recognize Satan as the prince of this world, but he'll never be a king. Please know that. He's a prince. He will never, ever be a king. So there are things for us to embrace in life, and then there are things for us to avoid in life. And the conformity here that we're talking about, go back to verse 2, Miles. The conformity that we're talking about here is, the word means it's slowly happening. Like, have you lived life, and then all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you have a gray hair, and you realize that you're, like the other day, a lady said to me, she goes, your hair is almost white. I still think I'm 22, chasing Julie all over Camelsville with my blonde hair, long blonde hair at the time. In my mind, I'm going, oh, what do you mean getting old? Look, the other day, do you want the senior discount? I said, what? I mean, we look up at, thanks, Janie. Oh no, that's what I said, Janie. I said, oh no. And then I started looking online at all the discounts you could get, going, yeah, you know, I'm like, there's a little benefit of this gray beard here. So there are things to embrace, there are things to avoid. The conformity is it slowly happens. We're slowly aging into a season of our life that we don't like, but it's just happening. It's happening so slowly right before us. The word conform here means it's happening so slowly that you don't even recognize it. That you're slowly, it's unnoticed. Let me tell you how you know you've conformed to the world. You wake up one day and you go, how'd I get here? How in the world did I get here? Whatever I just went through, whatever I'm going through, or whatever I'm suspect of going through in the future, how the key phrase that you will ask yourself to know that there's been conformity is you'll say, how'd I get here? Because it'll happen so slowly. And the picture here is you're drifting away from the Lord and you're conforming to the world. J.B. Phillips is a great scholar, writer, very simplistic. That's one reason I like him so much. Here's what he says about conformity here in this verse. He says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't do it. The picture here is the conformity is it's an outside influence, just like a mold. The outside has the shape it wants you to be in, and then you're poured into it, and you're quickly becoming that. And you're going, man, hey, Jeff, give me an example today that I will understand, and I'm going to. It won't be popular, I promise, but I'm going to use sexuality as a way to explain how you slowly conform to this age, to the world. And you're going, well, why are you choosing sexuality? Because if I choose that, you'll listen. Amen? If I use sex, you'll listen. So that's why I'm using it. Here it is. In the kingdom of God, we firmly believe that sex is only expressed in covenant marriage. Okay? So let's just be simplistic about it. Sex before marriage, something to avoid. If you've been married and you're not married now, it's something to avoid. If you're single, finish it. You're celibate. This sex is meant to be expressed between a man and woman in covenant marriage. Okay? Period. Now, I believe that. I teach that here. We teach it in new member training. But here's the expression from the world. Where'd you get that? Well, I got it from Scripture. I didn't get it from my raising in Summersville and Campbellsville or my country culture that I came up with that I love so much. I didn't get it from there. I got it from His Word. And you and I both know sex outside of marriage is dangerous ground to be on. It's dangerous. A lot of complications come with that. Is your body capable of that? Of course it is. But the emotional ruin from that can be absolutely detrimental to your blessed living. And my point in that is, because I've said that, here's what the world says about me. You're old. You're a dinosaur. You're not with it. You're shallow. You're not with the times. Hey, Jeffro, you're living in a time warp. And I love it. Your head's in the sand. You're not progressive. You're intolerant, Jeffro. And your views are extreme. And I think my views are very normal. But where'd I get it? Growing up in Summersville and Campbellsville? No. Where'd I get it? I got it from His Word. Let me tell you something. It's all a picture of His covenant with us. That's what it's all about. And so all these things are probably said about me, will be said about me because we're living, that's crazy thinking. It's 2019, it's the 21st century. Come on, preacher, you gotta catch up with the times. You're not the progressive man that you think you are. And if you think in the way that I just described, you've conformed. You may not agree with me, but let me tell you something. I'm a preacher that has to say that now. I just want to remind you that our Lord has the last say. I've always said, be careful how you treat the preacher, because I'll be speaking at your funeral when you won't, right? I might get the last say there. But when it comes to following the Lord, you need to remember, listen at me, look at me. He has the last word. And he's not going to judge it on some new constitution bylaw that he's just written up. He will base it, and he's told you already how you and I will be judged. He's explained that to us. He's let us know. He's let the cat out of the bag. So you've got to realize he sticks with the covenant promise. He loves that. He's made it to us. So you've got to see, do you see what I'm saying? I want you to hear me now. I'm trying to say it simply. It has a bigger ripple effect than what I'm saying here, but I'm trying to say it simply. You'll conform to this world and you won't even know it. It's kind of like the frog in the pot and the frog's being cooked and it doesn't even know it. So that's how slowly this conformity comes upon us. And the reason I use that example today, and I could have used others, is because I thought you'd pay attention to it. I'm in a covenant relationship with Christ. I surrender to that covenant relationship. I intend on staying in that covenant relationship. But I want to tell you, the evil one who's over the sway over the whole world, one of his main deals is to get you to break covenant with God. You hear me? And you'll get to thinking, well, man, I've surrendered to the Lord, and I can do this and I can do that. Live your life, roll those dice if you want to, but if I was you, I wouldn't gamble on it. You can roll those dice if you want. I just want to remind you that I was called a long time ago to tell you today he has the last word. And he's not going to change his mind. It's conformity. We conform very, very quickly. But here's the good news. You can be transformed. You can be made completely new in your way. And I'm going to walk you through this so you get the whole counsel of it, which is why I started that off at the beginning of the sermon. You're transformed, and you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed here is our word metamorphosis. It means that you have changed from the inside out. Absolutely changed from the inside out. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4-6, and let's walk through this slowly. Don't read this fast. In their case, the God of this age, which is the person we just read about in 1 John 5:19, this is written by Paul, and John's epistle is written by John, but they're both saying the same thing. Two different people, two different times, saying the same thing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. It means they're conformed. They're conformed. They can't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your slaves because of Jesus. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So listen to me. When the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines into our dark lights, the light bulb goes on. Don't say the light bulb goes off. Don't ever say the light bulb goes off in my head. I don't want it to go off in your head. I want it to go on in your head. Okay? And so it says, let the light shine out of darkness. It is shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God. Do you see that? I'm no longer living under the knowledge of the world in conformity. What has happened? His light has shone into my dark life, and now I live under the knowledge of God. You'll go, hey, Jeffro, where'd you get that? Out of your education? No. The light of the gospel has shone into the dark side of my life. Where'd you come up with that? How'd you learn to think that way? You a country boy? Is that where it came from? No. Where'd it come from? And there are a lot of people in their conformity are living in darkness, and the world is conforming the way they think and react. I'm saying this, I hadn't even breathed for about 30 minutes. Are y'all with me? And then God's light is shown into us. And when God's light shows into us, you have a different knowledge of the same situation. You can look at the same situation in conformity of darkness and think one thing. And then the light of the gospel of Christ shines on it, and you're in the knowledge of God, and you look at the same situation, and you'll see it completely differently. That's what's got to happen. And what happens? What happens is we conform. I mean, that's why the Lord says, let your light shine. Keep it shining. All those things. Why? Because the enemy wants to snuff that out. And I know you're going to the song. I am too. And won't let Satan blow it out. All right, I'm going to let it shine. And I went there. I said I wouldn't, but I did. So do you see that verse? I want you to see that verse in living. I want you to see that verse. That if I'm living under the knowledge of the world, I'm conformed. In the light of the gospel of Christ, I am seeing the same thing, totally different. Why? Because of his knowledge into it. That's why you can come up and you can give a situation to a mature Christian and you could go, I see it this way, how do you see it? And they'll say, I see it this way. How come you see it that way? Because of the knowledge of God. I'm just going to tell you something. There are things that believers see that unbelievers will never be capable of seeing because of the light of the gospel of Christ. I remember Vance Havner, he's dead now, was the king of one-liners. He said, talking to an unspiritual person about spiritual things is like talking to a wooden Indian about nuclear physics. They're not going to get it. Why? Because the light of the gospel of Christ is not shining in that situation. And we've got to let that speak to that. Let's move on. Galatians 1:4. Do not be conformed to this, thank you, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. Do you see that? These all are written at different times. He gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil according to the will of our God and our Father. Let me bring it to you this way. I know his living wasn't everything that it should have been, but he got the song right. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. Can you finish it? Praise the Lord. I saw the light. When the light of the gospel of Christ shines into your heart, you'll no longer see the same situation as somebody who's conformed to the world. That's just where it is. And he came to rescue us, and that's a key word today, from this present evil age. So why do we preach this? Why do we preach this? It's because I don't want you to live deceived. I love you enough. I don't want you to live in deception because the enemy is, his whole deal is to deceive you. If you're blind, I want you to see. If you're walking dead, I want you living. That's why we preach the gospel. Is I want you to see if you go from blindness to sight. I want you to go from death unto life. I want you to see in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to focus on the phrase renewing of your mind. And then I want to take you to Ephesians 6:17. In Ephesians 6, we talk about the armor of God that we wear. In verse 17, it talks about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. But we're going to focus on the helmet of salvation. And you got to understand, why did they call that which guarded the mind the helmet of salvation? Well, it's because of the enemy's deception. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Because your mind becomes a battleground for the enemy. And we've got to ward off his deceptions, and I'll get to that in a moment. I just wanted you to see, take the helmet of salvation. And this is the way that I preach. Look at the theme of this throughout Scripture. Psalm 140, verse 7. Lord God, my strong Savior, you shield my head on the day of battle. Then I want you to see 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, we must be sober and put the armor of faith and love on our chest and put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. Why do you think Paul is talking about in Romans the renewing of your mind? Why do you think Ephesians is saying guard your mind with the helmet of salvation and declaration of salvation? Psalm 140 says, cover my head for the day of battle. 1 Thessalonians, the helmet of salvation and the hope of salvation. Why? Because the assurance of salvation protects the believer just like the helmet protects the soldier. Here's the battleground. The enemy's deception wants you, if you're saved, he wants you living a life doubting that you've ever been saved. He wants you thinking you're alone, that you're damaged goods, and you can never be whole in the eyes of God, that you have absolutely no future, which is why I believe Paul emphasizes my salvation in Christ brings me hope that the world could never bring me. Some of you all can't wait to live in retirement, wherever you're going to live in retirement. I can't wait to live in heaven. I'll trade my retirement plans for heaven any day, any moment of the day. I believe it's going to be so perfect for not only us, but just even me. And I know that what he gives Christ, he's going to give us. And I know it's going to be a great place for Jesus, right? And it's going to be a great place for us. You see, the enemy wants you to think that you have no future, so burn your life out now. Waste it up. Live it up. And if the whole time he's destroying you, I want to remind you something about Satan. He will sacrifice you. He will never sacrifice himself. And then I want to remind you of the beauty of Jesus. He will never sacrifice you. He will sacrifice himself. And the enemy, with this wonderful life of conformity and freedom and expression and just let it go, is absolutely destroying you and sacrificing you. He will never do that to himself. He'll sell you out so fast it'll make your head spin. You all understand that? Y'all looking at me like you never heard a sermon in your life. Are y'all with me this morning? You behind me? You throwing stuff at me? You standing up for me? What are you doing? You see, you got to understand what he's trying to do. And the reason I believe the helmet is called that which guards our mind is the helmet of salvation is very simply the schemes of the enemy are not that difficult to figure out. If you're saved, he wants you living like you don't know if you are or not. And if you're not, he wants you thinking that you are. It's not that hard. Let me say it again. If you're saved, he wants you doubting it every moment of your life. And if you're not saved, he wants you thinking you are, that you can save yourself. I want to go back to that 1 Thessalonians 5:8. This is the beauty of Jesus. Go to the next one. Which one was it? I'll try to find it. Galatians 1:4, Miles. Thanks, bro. That who gave himself for our sins, look at the gospel, to rescue us from what? This present evil age that wants you doubting and worrying and jealous and envious and lusting after everything and coveting somebody's big truck out in the parking lot, and I wish I had their house, I wish I had their life, I wish I had their husband, I wish I had their wife, I wish I had their kids. Y'all listen to me. He wants you living all messed up, stirred up, and I'm doing this word of knowledge thing that I'm praying for because none of that's on this sheet. I'm going to tell you about the Lord. I'm getting into that crescendo. Just think about it. He wants you lusting after that famous person's life and their entourage and how they ride in big shiny cars that never get dirty. You all hear me? That's what he does to us. Just always wanting something more than who we are or what we have. And I'm just telling you, the helmet of salvation is perfect, I think, picture, because the enemy wants to destroy your mind. And we go back to Romans 12:2. It says that in that we conform to be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, knowing that he rescued me and he sacrificed himself instead of me, and I live with that knowledge. Listen, you can take all the choices that you want in your life. You can hear this sermon today and just chuck it down the tubes. But I was called into ministry, and I was called to preach, to challenge you, to let you know you don't have to live a deceived life. That he died and rescued you so you could live an abundant life and a life of freedom in a messed up world. That's one reason I believe he saved me, and I know that's why he called me. You can choose whatever you want to do. I just want you to know he came to rescue you from living a conformed life of this world that absolutely puts you in bondage. Let me use one more verse to tell you about the renewing of your mind. And I know the Lord has done this in my life. It's Romans 8:16. And I know that he'll do it in yours. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. Where does he send that? To our minds. He reminds us that you are mine. You belong to me. And you and I need that reminder in our life. And this is the beauty of the gospel of Christ. His spirit testifies with our spirit that we are his. I do not belong to this evil age. I do not belong to the conformity of this world. And this world is under the sway of the evil one. He reminds me that I am his. That's why the helmet is a picture of the helmet of the hope of salvation. He guards that. Why does he guard that? Because the enemy wants you thinking that God absolutely doesn't want anything to do with you. And the picture of it is he came to rescue you. Steve Corners told me last night that both of our units are out. He said, "Preacher, your sermon, you're just going to have to fire it up." I hope I have, Steve. Back to Romans 12:2 for a moment. And why avoid the conformity? Why am I transformed by the renewing of my mind, the light of the gospel, of the knowledge of God? Why? So that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. If you know it, it's meant for you to perform it. If you know it, it's meant for you to put it into practice. And this transformation has a new set of living. It has a new set of principles to live by. And let's just walk through this for a moment. What does it produce? You're able to discern what it is that the good that God wants. You're able to discern that. You're able to discern what pleases him. You're able to figure it out. And you're able to know what the complete will of God is. What is the complete will of God? So you're knowing what is good, you know what is pleasing, you know what is complete. And here's the struggle that all of us have in this room. The struggle is, I want to please myself versus I want to please him. It is, I know what's best for me versus on what I think he knows what is best for me. That becomes the struggle. And here's what Phillips wrote, which is one reason I lied. Because you don't conform to this world, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, the helmet of salvation, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and what it, knowing what is good, what is pleasing, what is complete. Here's what he says. He says, you're able to know what God has in mind. You're able to know what God has in mind for you. The Old Testament says that the Spirit is behind us, telling us when to turn left and to turn right. Now, I don't think you need to pull out here to 127 and go, okay, Holy Spirit, which way do I go? That's not what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit is going to work in conjunction with even the truth of this verse. You know, folks, some of us know, and we look at a situation, we know what the good thing of God is to do. We know what the pleasing thing of God is to do. We know what the complete life of God is to do. We know that. And so if your mind's been transformed, you're able to figure that out. You know, a lot of times in counseling, I just ask this question. What do you think is the right thing to do? And they don't want to tell me. They want to tell me, I want some other options here. You know what it is. Then you carry it out and you do it. It's a blessed life. I want you to look at the Hope Arrow for a moment. I wish every person connected with our church would live this out weekly. Have spiritual conversations with people. I know you're afraid. You're afraid because they're going to ask you a question and you're not going to be the good Bible answer person. So go home and look it up. Tell them I'll get back with you. Come back with it. Discuss it. Look it over. Have spiritual conversations with people. Just about Jesus. What's going on. That happened this morning. Just briefly. It's just part of my life. I mean, now I just preach. But you're going, you're the preacher. No, it's not because I'm the preacher. Oh, open the scriptures. Predominantly the gospels. Find out what his life is like. You know, some people think preachers should chase people all the time. Jesus never chased anybody. He let them go. He let them walk away. Never chased them. And you'll have a part of the church where you got to run and chase people. And I could be chasing people that never have any intention coming back and miss some really good discipling people. You all with me? It sounds harsh. I'm just telling you, read the gospels. Open it. Open God's word. Pray and listen. Real simple. May not agree. You're going, preacher, I don't know where you come up with this. Maybe it's the light of the gospel of Christ giving me the knowledge of God. One reason, very simply, the enemy has you in a hurry is so that you never pray and listen. I'm just telling you. You're going, man, I thought the devil was sharper than that. Seems to be working to me. It's a very simple concept. I'm going to have you so busy that you can't sleep, and you have to take things to sleep, and then those don't work anymore, so you have to take things to activate those things to make you sleep. Hello. And you're just running wide open. You lay down your pillow. Your mind's going 500 miles an hour, and it comes about praying, and you think about praying, and then when you do pray, you fall asleep, you know? Maybe start praying a little earlier, and then by the end of your prayer, it'd be good to go to sleep. Pray and listen. He's got you in such a hurry that you don't even pray and listen. Eat with people and enjoy eating with people. In our parenting thing on Sunday nights, I'm not saying bring the family table back every night, but really work hard to bring the family table back together for maybe one or two nights a week. Put all the phones in the basket and just sit down and talk. And even if the conversations, it comes from your kids about why do I need to eat Brussels sprouts? Just have that conversation with them. Eat with them. And here's the part today. Going back to Romans 12:2, go out of here and live the blessed life. That's the arrow. Go live this transformed life. And live the blessed life. And then be a blessing to other people. Let God use you to show the light of the gospel into their dark lives so that they then have the knowledge of God and help them get away from this present evil age. You got it? Go back to the hope arrow. You're the arrow. Get out of here today. That's why I don't book so much stuff with you all. I love you on campus, but that's why I don't want you on campus all the time. This world, this crazy, messed up, confused world, needs to see people who are living the blessed life and who can bring blessing into their life. And so you go do that. You hear me? Go do that. I pray you receive this today. I hope it was simple. Hope you saw it. God will give you the knowledge that He has. Not to pass a physics test that you haven't studied for, but to live this life out. He'll let you see it His way and what to do and how to please Him. What is good, what is complete in Him. You'll be able to know it. You'll be able to do it. You'll be able to speak it into their life. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Bless them. Remind us, out of all we handled, that you came to rescue us from this present evil age. And I thank you for that. Lord, you've poured on me a ministry to teach people how to not live deceived. I pray you bring increase to that ministry, Lord. A lot of people live in deceived lives. I thank you for the freedom that I have in you to live out this life that you've called us to, you called me to. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. You're here. You've never surrendered to Christ. Come today, will you? Just, I pray for the boldness of you to react today. If you're here and you're a believer, we offer communion to you. Doesn't matter if you're a member of our church or not. We practice open communion here. The bread represents His body given. The drink represents His blood shed. Take the bread, dip it into the drink, and before you consume it, thank Him for His sacrifice, and listen to me. Tell Him thanks for rescuing you from this present evil age. Thank you for your rescue. He's the greatest first responder that ever lived, and thank Him for His rescue. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, today you come. Church, if you stand, counselors, if you'll find your spot, Logan's going to lead us. He comes.